would have been surprised, had Dragon been really surprised at anything at all for the last 100 years or so, at how easy some of it had been. He didn't even need to read it now. He knew it by heart. The family trees were properly planted, the words were down there on the page, and all he had to do was sing along. The first page was headed, "The Descent of King Carrot the First, by the grace of the gods, King of Ankh-Morpork." A long and complex family tree occupied the next dozen pages until it reached "Married." The words there were merely penciled in. "Delphine Angua von Überwald," read the dragon aloud. "Father and, sire, Baron Guy von Überwald, also known as Silvertail. Mother, Madame Seraphine Sox Blunberg, also known as Yellow Fang of Genua." It had been quite an achievement, that part. He had expected his agents to have some difficulty with the more lupine areas of Angua's ancestry, but it turned out that mountain wolves took quite a lot of interest in that sort of thing as well. Angua's ancestors had definitely been among the leaders of the pack. Dragon King of Arms grinned. As far as he was concerned, species was a secondary consideration. What really mattered in an individual was a good pedigree. Ah, well, that was the future as it might have been. He pushed the book aside. One of the advantages of a life much longer than average was that you saw how fragile the future was. Men said things like, "peace in our time," or "an empire that will last 1,000 years," and less than half a lifetime later, no one even remembered who they were, let alone what they had said, or where the mob had buried their ashes. What changed history were smaller things. Often a few strokes of the pen would do the trick. He pulled another tome towards him. The frontispiece bore the words, "The Descent of King..." Now, what would the man call himself? That at least was not calculable. Oh well. Dragon picked up his pencil and wrote, "Nobs." He smiled in the candlelit room. People kept on talking about the true King of Ankh-Morpork, but history taught a cruel lesson. It said, often in words of blood, that the true king was the one who got crowned. Books filled this room, too. That was the first impression, one of dank, oppressive bookishness. The late Father Tubelcheck was sprawled across a drift of fallen books. He was certainly dead. No one could have bled that much and still been alive, or survived for long with a head like a deflated football. Someone must have hit him with a lump hammer.
"This old lady came running out screaming," said Constable Visit, saluting. "So I went in, and it was just like this, sir."
"Just like this, Constable Visit?"
"Yes, sir, and the name's Visit the Infidel with explanatory pamphlets, sir."
"Who was the old lady?"
"She says she's Mrs. Kanaki, sir. She says she always brings him his meals. She says she does for him."
"Does for him?"
"You know, sir, cleaning and sweeping."
There was indeed a tray on the floor, along with a broken bowl and some spilled porridge. The lady who did for the old man had been shocked to find that someone else had done for him first.
"Did she touch him?" he said.
"She says not, sir."
Which meant the old priest had somehow achieved the neatest death Vimes had ever seen. His hands were crossed on his chest, his eyes had been closed. And something had been put in his mouth. It looked like a rolled-up piece of paper. It gave the corpse a disconcertingly jaunty look, as though he'd decided to have a last cigarette after dying. Vimes gingerly picked out the little scroll and unrolled it. It was covered with meticulously written but unfamiliar symbols. What made them particularly noteworthy was the fact that their author had apparently made use of the only liquid lying around in huge quantities.
"Yuck," said Vimes. "Written in blood. Does this mean anything to anyone?"
"Yes, sir."
Vimes rolled his eyes.
"Yes, Constable Visit."
"Visit the infidel with explanatory pamphlets, sir,"
said Constable Visit, looking hurt.
"The infidel with explanatory pamphlets."
Constable Visit was an Omnian, whose country's traditional approach to evangelism was to put unbelievers to torture and the sword. Things had become a lot more civilized these days, but Omnians still had a strenuous and indefatigable approach to spreading the word, and had merely changed the nature of the weapons.
Constable Visit spent his days off in company with his co-religious Smite the Unbeliever with Cunning Arguments, ringing doorbells and causing people to hide behind the furniture everywhere in the city.
"I was just about to say it, Constable," said Vimes.
"Well?" "It's an ancient Clatchian script," said Constable Visit.